All right. I think that just about does it. I'm still mulling over what to do. Go ahead. Go ahead.
For KPFA, the goal was 550 and pledged was 450.
That's
the goal.
The
goal was 550,000.
Right.
And of that, just over 450,000 was pledged.
Okay, thank you.
Chris Mentor would like to be on stack before you adjourn the meeting.
Okay, I'm not. We have one more item before and new business before we adjourn. But okay, Mentor, do you want to speak now or do you want to wait?
I'll wait.
Okay, I'll make a note of it. Okay, any more stuff related to budgets for now? What I was going to say is that I know that I mentioned this last time, but not having working budgets is a problem, of course, and not having good accounting information is also impacting that, and not being able to move forward because of these two things in tension with one another is I think to the detriment of the entire organization. So I'm going to give some thought as to how to resolve this in a way that gets us to fiscal year 2020, which is going to be the next item that we discuss here, because otherwise it's kind of a pointless discussion. We know that we're going to be talking about fiscal year 2020 a year from now, just like we're talking about fiscal year 2019 now. And that doesn't seem like a good way to go. I would welcome any conversation on the side with members of this committee, and if we want to spend a good deal of time talking about it actually in committee, we can do that. We can set an agenda item and do that. It's very frustrating to have meeting after meeting and not have any actionable items in this area. So I just wanted to express that. Go ahead, Maxie.
Yeah, could you just repeat the premise that you just gave? I missed the beginning half of what you said.
Sure. Yeah, what I was saying is that basically we've been having this frustrating situation where there's always an excuse, and I'm not saying that the excuses are not legitimate. They are. They're absolutely legitimate, but it's unfortunate that we find ourselves in the situation where we don't have station budgets. And if there was some way that we could overcome that without having good, solid financial information, that would probably be the best move right now, just so we can get fiscal year 2019 wrapped up. And then, knock on wood, we'll have better financial information in the future, and we'd be able to construct better budgets in the future. So I'm considering – go ahead, Maxie.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up and say that I actually think – and I don't know if Tamara's still on the call, but I don't anticipate FY20 being like this year. I just don't. I think the reason we brought NETA on was to clean up our financial act. I mean, it's well documented that financial management and oversight at Pacifica for several years has been an issue. But I think we're about to turn the corner on that. I mean, maybe I'm wishful thinking here, but with the audits completed with best practices, industry standard, financial management, accounting practices with dashboards, and with the business managers increasing in their competence and their skills, I would be surprised if you all have difficulty budgeting for fiscal year 20 in the way that we've done previously. So I just wanted to put that out. That's why I asked you to repeat the premise, because I don't think it's going to apply moving forward. I think once NETA finishes the 18 audits, they're expected to do the 19 on a timely manner. And that's why I think you're going to be in a lot better shape than you than you might believe. And you know, if I'm wrong, I could be wrong, but that's my understanding of how this will shape up.
Okay, I appreciate
But let me just say, that doesn't speak to the revenue generation.
No, I understand that. I understand that. Yeah, it's just going to give us a clearer picture of what is going on and what we have to do. And that's been just a perpetual problem. I mean, let me just express this as well, just so everybody understands. I've only been involved with the organization for a few years now, and in the entire time, it's just been completely opaque. It's like looking into a dark room and trying to figure out what the furniture is. I have no clue what's going on in the organization. I know what the organization used to do 5, 10, 15 years ago, but I have no idea what it's been doing since the time I've been on the local station board and on the national board. And, you know, now that I'm put in this unenviable position of chairing this committee and having things that the committee is supposed to accomplish, I just find myself increasingly frustrated that I'm unable to accomplish those things. And I understand that it probably will be better going forward. I really do. I get that. I'm just trying to figure out how we can wrap up what has been going on in the past. I mean, I guess when we get to fiscal year 2020, we won't need fiscal year 19 anymore, because it's going to become irrelevant and I can just scratch it off my list. I just feel terrible about having to do that, just light a fire to it and watch it go away. But I guess that is a possibility. It's just one that I hadn't even considered doing. And so, you know, my frustration has been growing month by month, but, I guess there is a real end to it, and that's the fiscal year end. But in any case, that would leave station managers up to their own devices in terms of what their budgets are and how to spend their money. And that just seems like a very scary proposition to me. But maybe it seems different to everybody else in the organization than me, and I'm all alone here. In any case, I'm just expressing my frustration, and I don't mean to sound cynical. I just haven't seen much movement on it.
Question from Nancy.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Are you referring to the 2019 budgets? You're saying that we don't have any 2019 budgets?
We don't have anything other than preliminary. We don't have anything other than preliminaries, except for from PFW, who has a budget that they're acting on. And part of the reason why is, as Bill has mentioned, that the fund drives have fallen under, and so the budgets are out of whack, and no changes have been made to the budget to reflect those shortfalls. So, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and that's also part of the misery here is that, you know, there's no good surefire way of making changes to these budgets. Well, I mean, there are, you can rewrite the budgets at any particular time, but, that hasn't been part of the process here. And so I understand that, you know, that there's a number of things going on all at the same time. I just find a good number of them kind of worrisome and frustrating. So anyway, it's probably not my responsibility to express my frustration. It's probably my responsibility to do something about it. I just haven't been able to quite figure out what to do.
Well, like, I think you already hit on it, maybe. Isn't it like the practice to adjust the budgets when you don't get the income, or you have more expenses than expected? Isn't it appropriate to request? I don't know if you have requested adjustments to the budget. Maybe that's the step to take next.
That's a good idea, Nancy.
You mentioned it.
Yes, I did. You're right. Yeah, that probably would be a step to take, or the step to take. And I guess that would get back to R. Paul's insistence that we know what's going on with the fund drives, and that was a good catch on his part. And I really was I didn't know that they were as far short as they were until last meeting. So that's kind of disturbing, but valuable information to have. But yes, you're right. That would be the exact step to take. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, thank you. And yeah, I have the same concerns, Chris. And we all need to be able to talk to our station people, our LSPs and managers, and help them realize that we can't just break even this year. We need to make a profit, because starting around October, we're going to be paying another $23,000 to $24,000 a month in interest on this loan, and we still don't have a plan on how we're going to pay it off. And that's in addition to our regular expenses. And we're either going to have to increase the revenue, or we're going to have to cut expenses. And so there may be some pain involved. And if you haven't already signed up, any of you are on the boards, your LSP or the PMB, you know, you could sign up for Greater Public, get access. Maxie's made that available to all the LSB members. They do have some ideas for increasing revenue. And, you know, you have to go there and see what might be useful for your station or what you can adapt. But I hope you can get some ideas and get some other people involved in on your boards and thinking about how to increase revenue. And some of those things take time. You know, if we start massive legacy programs at all the stations, that's great, but you're not going to see the money for a while. And but we do need to get serious about it. And I agree with you. I think we have to start planning on planning for profits, because we have to pay not just our expenses, but we've got to pay back debt. And
yeah,
that's where we need the cash flow. The only way we get that is from a surplus.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. This is an interesting dilemma for small companies. And I would, you know, maybe you guys think of Pacifica as a large corporation, but it really isn't that large. But, and that's that, especially at the employee level, at the staff level, people have a difficult time understanding that unless the company generates profit, it can't repay debt. It just simply cannot repay it, because that is where the principal comes from. I mean, it takes money above and beyond expenses to pay some principal. And if you're losing money continually, the debt is going to continue growing continually to the point where you can't service it anymore. And that's how companies get into trouble.
Mansoor would like to be on stack.
We definitely need to do something about it in the intermediate and long term, or we're going to be in a serious bind. Go ahead, Maxie.
Yeah.
I would like to be on stack too, please.
I heard you, Mansoor. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
First of all, I just want to, I'm glad to hear that Bill is taking advantage of the greater public membership. And I want to just reinforce how useful that the tools that are there can be for the stations that you represent. And as Bill mentioned, I think that's a great starting point to germinate ideas, if you will, on how to increase revenue. But I want to also encourage you all to think about two things. There's only one development director in all of the Pacifica units, and that's at KPFA. We're about to be eligible, once the audits are completed, go after foundation grants. To cultivate major donors who would want to see our financials, and we'll have them to show. And so if I were on a board, one of the things I think I would be thinking about, and I know we don't have a get or get out policy with our board members, but I would be looking at how can the board do some kind of revenue or fundraising, put development directors in our shops. It's an expense that more than pays for itself if you hire properly and get the right person in there. But it is one of those situations where you have to invest to get a return. And I just think that without having that person or position with that background in our shops, it's going to be difficult to take advantage of the fact that our financials are going to be in a much better picture than they've been over previous years. And so I just want to, since we're on the verge of being there, encourage that activity. I had one other thing to say, and it has slipped my mind, so I will yield to the gentleman. my apologies.
Paul?
I'll put you on the stack, Paul. Go ahead, Mansoor.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. This is actually what I wanted to talk about as well. Since it's been brought up, I would like to contribute to the dialogue. And I think overall, we have to be very relevant to what's going on now and next year. And that means really presidential election. And there's no way that our fund drives are going to be achieving their goals, because to my understanding from all the materials that I read, there are 20 some odd Democratic Party presidential candidate that's siphoning up the money from all the progressive organizations, including Pacifica. So I really think that we need to have a comprehensive, everybody involved, a dialogue. And I brought this issue up last year. I think we need to have a three-day seminar amongst ourselves to figure out what it is that we need to do, what it is that needs to happen, and what it is that it must happen in order for Pacifica to not only survive but thrive. And here's my fear. If we don't take action this year, next year is going to be worse, because the hype of the presidential election is going to siphon up more money from small donors to large donors. So we have to be relevant, and that's coming from our programming. And I know Mr. Jackson's working with our general managers and program directors working on that topic, but we need to somehow figure out what it is that we are doing with Pacifica, and if it needs to survive, how are we going to help it to get it to the next level? And as custodians of Pacifica's license, I am obligated to bring these issues up, just like Bill has brought it up, just like Chris, you have brought it up, all of us, Paul brought it up. So I am no different than the rest of you, the rest of us, and we all like thinking the same way. But we need to figure out how to have a vision to move forward. And I cannot come up with that vision myself. I have some ideas. I'm pretty sure Bill does. I'm pretty sure all the PNB members, LSB members do have. But it's not a comprehensive. And that's not going to happen till we get together and figure out what it is and how it is that we're going to move forward. Otherwise, the way that things are going, we're not going to be able to pay this loan back. And it's a sorry situation. However, that I understand, and I know it, that hopefully our CPB money would be reinstated, hopefully this year and next year. So these are positive things that has happened as the result of management, having an executive director who actually knows what media is and radio is and the field is, rather than the last 8 years, and having program directors, general managers, that they are actually professionals. But we, as of LSB, PNB, we really have to step in. And again, I'll leave my last thought is, I know what to do, but those are just my ideas, and I would like to hear everybody else's so I can have a foundation vision to move forward in order to save Pacifica and make it thrive again. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mitch. Paul?
Yeah. Okay. I want to say regarding development directors, we do have an interim development director at WBAI, have had for years. And I'll just leave it at that. Regarding us figuring out what to do, we got to figure some stuff out. I think a lot of it is not making the same mistakes we've made. I mean, one positive thing is the NFC is meeting on the old regular twice a month schedule, which will make a difference. A lot of what happened last year was that we ended up with a once-a-month schedule, and then people didn't show up for meetings, so there were, you know, months where we didn't even have a meeting, and so stuff like that happened. But in terms of how are we going to get enough money to pay off these, starting with the interest in the loan, I don't know how $3.3 million gets paid off. That's, you know, that's off in the future in some fog. But in terms of how we're going to pay these things off, interest, well, I guess the first thing is we have to try and figure out realistically how that 23 or 24 a month nut gets divided among the stations. And that ain't going to be so easy. And we also need to be very realistic about that. You know, we see a lot of stations, at least the past two on-air fundraising drives, the winter and the spring, haven't been that good for Pacifica. Stations have been missing their goals. Those are two-thirds of your major on-air fundraisers. And if you don't make the goal on two-thirds of your fundraisers, you're going to have a hard time meeting operations expenses, much less throwing in every month some thousands of dollars to try and pay off the interest. It's actually very late in the day for us to start considering this, but we do have to really try and figure this out. This is in fact a crisis, and it will hit in, I think it's September, maybe it's October, I don't know. From what I've been told, I thought it was September. But we have to start really getting a hold of that. I don't know what exactly we can do. I don't have any brilliant idea to raise millions of dollars in a few months, but we have got to figure something or other out, because here's some fast history. We had a bequest to Pacifica, and it was restricted, and Pacifica needed the money, so Pacifica used it. And then we had to pay it back. And all of Pacifica had to pay $8,000 a month to put that back. All of Pacifica had a very, very, very hard time paying $8,000 a month several years ago. Now we've got something that's going to be, three times that size. And we aren't getting all that much revenue these days. So, yeah, we got to figure out. I mean, the big looming thing here is those interest payments. And I think we got to really concentrate on those. I know there's a PNB committee about this. I haven't seen any reports or anything from them. Maybe I shouldn't be able to. But I would like to know. Maybe the directors can reassure me and say, we've got it figured out. I'd like to hear that. But right now, it's kind of like, you know, you're kind of quaking in your boots saying, there's this thing coming in and it's getting closer every month. And, you know, so that the loan interest payment is a thing we've really got to grapple with very, very soon. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark Paul. Maxie, I had a quick question for you. Do we have any data to support Mansour's claim that election years drive down fundraising for our organization? Did I get disconnected?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was muted.
Chris, can I give you an anecdotal evidence for that?
You can, but I'd be more interested in historical evidence.
Sure. While Mr. Jackson's coming back on, so what happened? We during the fund drive, as soon as Bernie Sanders said that he's running for the presidency, nominated himself, our numbers were like 22 at KPFK. The daily average was 22 to 25. Our numbers plummeted, and I mean plummeted to 13, 12,000 a day. Immediately, and after that, our daily average just went really low. It took a week because nobody else was running. Nobody else nominated him or herself at a week right after that. It took a week for the numbers to bounce back up, but not to the 22, but it was like 19, 20. And the latest fund drive that we had that we came short, our daily average, I think, became like 17 to 18 K a day, which on the average, we would do 22 to 25 a day prior to presidential nominations. So that's just the way that I get it. And then with the other fundraisings that all the presidential candidates did, and they announced their numbers, how much they raised in 1 day, 2 days, this and that, I think that had an effect. Plus, California really last presidential cycle, 2016, California and Californians donated to the tune of $150 to $200 million to both parties. So that's what I know. And I surmise that this is going to continue. And yeah, that's my thank you.
Okay. I didn't mean to
cut you off.
Thank you.
Let me finalize. What I would tell you from the years that I programmed NPR stations, the election cycles were always the period where NPR had its greatest boost in audience. So you could reason that membership drives would also perform better. And the reason for that is because the audience knew that it would get its full fill of election coverage and political commentary and content as the elections drew near. And so it was never a problem when I was programming NPR stations during the election season. So that in many respects counters what Mansoor says, although I will certainly give credence to his anecdotal understanding. What I will say, though, is that the sooner Pacifica gets to a place where our content truly reflects 21st century progressive thought and action and agency, when that occurs, I don't think we're going to suffer this loss of dollars during pledge drives because of election cycles. And I'll take it a step further. We should all know that only 10% of your listening audience, and I don't care what media operation you are, actually donates during pledge drives. One of the things we have to do a better job of in our pledge drive, and that's part of why I solicited the greater public membership, is know how to articulate our campaigns and script them in a way that really tells the story of why Pacifica matters now more than ever during these election cycles, because of the information that we provide. And so some of that will be reflected in the programming. It's harder with us because we're patchwork, and I've made that case, so I won't repeat it here. But the more we're able to present reliable, consistent, predictable programming that addresses the progressive mandate during an election cycle, the higher our results will be during pledge drive. That's my belief, and that's not just anecdotal, but it's from years of programming during elections, at various cycles.
Thank you. Mansoor would like to be on stack if it's possible.
Sure, Mansoor.
Sharon,
Sharon? No, I heard you. I heard you, Sharon. Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay. I really appreciate the comments that Max was just saying, because I really do pay attention to how content is being delivered currently, and we do have what KPFA and Pacifica have is content. That's what, we have so much content. So I had to write a bunch of notes, and I'm just going to kind of go through my thoughts of what various things were said. But regarding why, for example, why revenue might anecdotally be down, it is also true that I guess since the beginning of this year, I'm looking at it right now, 2,100 media workers have been laid off at Gizmodo, BuzzFeed, Vice. Okay, these are all big, allegedly somewhat progressive organizations, and they are laying off people because revenue is decreasing. So, you know, I think that we have to recognize the media environment that we're in, and then we have to look at where is there a growing audience? Okay, where is there a growing audience? And I actually have maybe somewhat anecdotal tale. Jimmy Dore, the Jimmy Dore Show. I recently discovered him on YouTube, and I came to learn that he actually started, or didn't start, but does have, and I believe currently still has, a show on KPFK. And, of course, his content is shareable across the network. And I have seen his numbers increase, his subscriber numbers on YouTube increase by 100,000 in the last, 100,000 subscribers in the last few months. So what is his message? What is his voice? And what is he doing to gain audience? Yes, this is what we need to look at. How are we going to gain revenue by, you know, seeing what is out there and seeing what is the content that actually draws an audience? And I do have a few thoughts on how to generate revenue also. Those are just my sort of larger thoughts. But I also believe that Pacifica should use some more modern, I've mentioned these before, some more modern ways of generating income. For example, having different levels of access, where if it's a fund drive, for example, subscribers that subscribe monthly could hear other content besides the fund drive. That would be one way to perhaps generate additional revenue, to create all this great content that we have and make it internet searchable, have internet searchable segments that people can find so they can find out about all that content, you know, and generate traffic to our website. This is how, I mean, I understand we're a radio and that's one of our key things, but that's how we have so much content. So anyway, those are my, I do have one other thought. When I have noticed that there's this sort of feeling about intellectual property, which is my area, within Pacifica, and that feeling is very much like we can't talk about it. And I actually think it's very important to start talking about the intellectual property of Pacifica, because that is what content is, and how we are going to actually monetize it. We have to start thinking in those terms. That's how we have to think about what we have and what we can deliver. That's my opinion. Those are my thoughts. And that's what I have to say.
Okay, thanks, Sharon. Hey, Mansoor, we have one more item left to discuss, and we're starting to run out of time here. We only have 23 minutes left until adjournment.
Can I give 30 seconds?
Sure, go ahead and give us 30 seconds.
Okay, thank you. I do wholeheartedly agree with Mr. Jackson, and that is, it is the content of providing materials for the presidential elections and this and that, that would bring us. And this is something that we need to discuss in a very near distance future. And thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Mansoor. All right. So the next item up on the agenda was item 8, the discussion of the fiscal year 2020 timeline. Arpal distributed that earlier. I think it was like mid last week, and I wanted to ask if let me just ask if Arpal could kind of walk us through the timeline, and I think we're already behind on the first part of it, but where the timeline might collide with the data and create an opportunity for us to get the 2020 budgets done. That's kind of what I was hoping to get to tonight. Would you mind, Arpal, taking that up?
Okay, where we're colliding with it already?
No. Go ahead.
The first thing is, okay, it's arranged as a tiny little spreadsheet or a table. The items go from item A to item I. The first item, and then everything is divided into three columns. The deadline, who initiates, and the action. So the first thing, A, is by May 31st, 2019, the CFO would initiate a meeting with the treasurers to outline budget development process and paperwork submission and call for budget priorities to be discussed in various venues. Obviously, it's past May 31st. The next the next item is B. That would be June 15th. By the way, we have not voted on this. This is a draft I sent out based on how things had been done in the past, the deadlines and stuff for the past. The next thing would be June 15th would be local finance committees, LSBs, in consultation with general managers and the business managers, would identify and rank budget priorities in order of importance on a scale of 1 to 5, where 5 is high. The NFC would complete its recommendation on central services formula for the upcoming fiscal year. And that's one of the things we've had a problem with, is the NFC needs to figure out what central services are going to be about. Although, from what I hear, NETA is supposed to be really considering this. And then the next
That's not true. That's not true. If I can interrupt real quick, R. Paul, and my apologies for doing that. I was specifically told that should be done by the PNB and perhaps this committee. It was because I actually was going to do an initiative to reconfigure that, but I was told it wasn't my place. So I just want to say that real quick. Sorry about that.
Okay, then that's changed from the last information I had. The next thing will be June 30th, and we're general managers and business managers in consultation with the LSBs, the local finance committees, the executive director and the CFO will generate draft station budgets and submit them to the CFO. That's supposed to happen on the 30th. Not going to happen. Anyway, I've sent this to the committee, and, I don't know if we want to debate the whole thing or have everybody mull it over till the next meeting, but we should at some point vote on this. And if we're going to change the dates, and just make it so that we can look at this. I know that people want to have an FY19 budget of some sort, but we're already far behind. We're ridiculously behind on 2019 budget. I think it would be good if we get a start on the FY20 budgets, because then we will be in this position a year from now. A year from now, we'll be getting good reports and saying, how's your budget doing? And seeing how it goes, instead of saying, well, we got to figure out how to make our budget happen at all. So I would like us to have a discussion at some point about this timeline. If not tonight, then we must put it on, I think, we must put it on the next agenda for the next meeting and vote on it, amend it if necessary, pass it, and try to adhere to it. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to go through the timeline, the proposed timeline, like one item at a time, and see when it would be likely that we could, where the likely hang-up points would be. Like, for example, for the third item, it would be in the mind of, I know that Bill's mentioned this, so I'll bring his name up specifically, that without actionable financial information, it's difficult to draft budgets. So I guess that's what I'm talking about is when the information or when the scheduling is in conflict with what's actually going on in the organization, that's how these things end up falling behind. And so it would be good if the plan would coincide with what we predict will happen realistically in terms of how some of these things will sequence out, when we'll actually be obtaining some of this information, when we'll have, I mean, it's unreasonable to expect Tamara to comment on, to take step A without even being in place. And so that would be an example of something that just needs to get moved forward. And, in other words, it would be better to have something that we can actually adhere to. And I understand that that's been a problem all along. But as Maxie pointed out, the future looks a little bit brighter than the past has. And it may be that we can actually put something together that everybody can live with and actually do. I would really like to take this up in a serious way. But I think it would require kind of a line item review of this thing. So I'll put that on the agenda for the next meeting to go through this one line at a time and see if we can come up with a timeline that we can actually all agree to. Not all agree to. I think all of us can agree to the timeline that you've already come up with, but that's realistic in light of where we stand as an organization. Does that make sense to everybody? Would anybody like to comment on that?
Yeah, that's what we should, that's the idea. I agree.
Okay, great. All right. Are there any other, would anybody like to get on the staff for this particular segment?
Anybody? Is this new business?
No, not yet. Not yet. Okay. We're not there yet. We're still in discussion of fiscal 2010 timeline. We have another 10 minutes left if anybody wants to take it. Did I say 2010? 2020. Sorry. Getting drowsy. Anybody else? Just me and our Paul. All right. So if there's no further comments, I will add that to the agenda for next time, and we will move on to any new business. I'm predicting that Maxie has something to say.
I do. I distributed, I won't call it a proposal, but it was sort of a workup regarding what's called a customer management system. Salesforce is one name, I guess, is the name of the tool, CDP, the company. But I forwarded it for this finance committee to consider perhaps. I also forwarded it to the strategic planning committee because I wasn't exactly sure who would be best to put their eyes on it. But what it really boils down to is the Pacifica network being part of a group of stations across non-commercial media that are able to take advantage of reduced costs for services to exploit, for lack of a better word, your membership databases. One of the challenges, as we all know, we have is our membership drives. We don't take advantage of direct mail anywhere near, I think, the capacity that we could and should. And so this group provides a scenario that may be useful. They are open to presenting to this group if so desired. But I just wanted to put that on the table as something for us to consider. It's a cheap entry point, but it does become, I won't say costly, but it does incur expense as you move forward with some of the services that they offer. And again, like I mentioned in securing a development director, if you will, it's one of those situations where you'd have to invest to get a return. But I think you'd see in their presentation that the return on the investment is quite significant. So I just want to put that out there because while we are challenged with building audience because of various factors, those who are members of our stations, getting them to give more, cultivating those relationships so that they are maximized, if you will, as part of the resource that Salesforce brings to the table. So I just want to put that on the table.
Okay, Maxie, I'm not sure I quite understand. We use Salesforce here at my place of work as a, you know, a piece of it's a sales tool, for lack of a better term, you know, as a CRM at this company. What organization or what organization are you suggesting would be helpful in regard to you were just talking about, and or what do you suggest using this tool for specifically?
Right. So Salesforce is, and this is the second time this has come up in a presentation I've made about this, so it's interesting. Salesforce is a sales tool, that is correct. But there's also a whole other use for that tool, that software, if you will, or that system that has been incorporated by media, public media, non-commercial media enterprises across the country. The statistic that they gave me is that about 30% of all fundraising that happens in the non-commercial media space, whether that's PBS, NPR, non-commercial community licensees, et cetera, goes through the Salesforce tool. And so some of that
I see.
they've got large clients, but the bottom line is that the tool can be used at the station level to mine your existing membership database and create scheduling of communications. But it really is about, you know, maximizing the membership that you already have and finding ways through direct mail and other tools to make sure that they are giving at, I guess, the highest levels as you can get out of them. And I think that's really important for us for obvious reasons.
Yeah, okay, I understand. I understand how you're thinking of using that tool now. And, that makes sense. Okay, thank you.
Bill for the stack.
Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, thanks. I've never used Salesforce, so I don't really have any direct experience with it. I've read some good things about it. I have been involved in the past in evaluating and purchasing software and also hardware. And one of the things I found really helpful, especially for complex stuff like this, is talk to people, users, who use it in as close a ways as we would be using it, you know, for a member database, and see what they like and don't like about it. And you have to ask both things, because the salespeople for any of this stuff are always going to tell you about the advantages, and they won't tell you about the little things that are nuisances or problems. And so I think we should, if I don't know which committee is going to be doing this or helping with this, but we do need to get probably several people involved in contacting references and, you know, ask Salesforce for references, or maybe you can track down people that use it and, you know, so they can tell us what they like and don't like.
No, it's a great point. I will say this, though. Part of the charm, if you will, with this offering from CDP is that it's actually quite turnkey. What you do is you literally turn over your database to them, and they create the automation, if you will, to schedule all of the communication with your membership. And so you provide them with your logo. You give them, obviously, your address, and they'll put all those systems in place for you when you get to the second level. There's two phases that we discussed. The first is doing a data dump to analyze what the prospects are for your funding, for your membership maximization, for lack of a better word. The second phase, which brings in some cost factors, is for them to literally do a turnkey situation for you. So it wouldn't be that folks at KPFT or BAI are actually using the system necessarily, at least at this phase of it, to do the reach out to the membership to create the system. You're actually turning your information over to a third-party vendor who actually does all this for you and does it in a very high professional level, with regularly scheduled communications and obviously the proper deployment of any revenues generated. And so it's really turnkey. That was one of the values I thought it brought to the table, because one of the things I clearly realized with our stations is, in some cases, a lack of human resources.
Well, I understand that, but all of them are going to say they're going to convert data from existing formats. The question is whether maybe there's something like that MemSys has that it won't import without a lot of help manual work. That's just an example. Or maybe there's other features just about using it that people really like and that we should know about, or that they really don't like.
What you're saying. So I think we should do what you said, if necessary. What I'm really proposing is that we get them to make a presentation so that we can determine if the questions you're asking represent a good next step, or if they can be resolved in that presentation. Because like I said, it's really a turnkey situation. And I think some of the questions about can they ingest certain databases or not would be able to be answered. But again, I'm not saying no to what you're proposing. I'm just suggesting that let's get them in if there's interest. Let's see what the presentation is all about and see if there's actually some value here that we can take advantage of.
Paul,
go ahead.
Yeah, let me bring up the thing that's absolutely going to come up. We're giving this company our database, all of the people who donate to the stations and all of that. And some people will say, oh, we're giving away our entire database. What will happen to it? There will be various, concerns raised about will the people on our databases suddenly be getting a lot of advertisements from, buy this card or do this, that, or the other thing. or maybe the government's going to get it and go after people or something like that. Now, I haven't heard a thing, so I don't know. I'm sure that somebody's going to give assurances about that, but I think that needs to be brought up because I can absolutely guarantee the issue will come up and people will need to address it.
Yeah, Carl, that's a great point. I actually brought it up when I met with them. I met them in person in D.C., and they addressed that. They made it very clear that not only, obviously, for obvious reasons, they don't own the information provided. They don't share it. All those aspects of the agreement are well spelled out, but your point is well taken, and certainly we should be able to articulate that answer to anyone else who this board or another committee, I'm sorry, this committee or another would present to the national board and or stations for consideration. So, great point.
All right. Is there any more new business?
I move to adjourn.
All right. I hear our Paul moving to adjourn. Is there any objection to that motion?
I only have a slight ask, and that is, this is Maxie. With what I just presented, is there any interest in having a representative from CDP present information about their service to this committee so that I can assist in scheduling it for either the next call or perhaps one thereafter?
I'd be interested in finding out about the organization that was soliciting this, actually. So, Maxie, if you could forward me information on what's the name of the – what's the acronym?
CDP. C is in Charles, D is in David, P is in Paul. I actually forwarded it already, but I'll do it again.
Okay.
And make sure that you get it.
I've been up to my eyes.
I'll do it again.
Thank you.
Hopefully, if you have any questions, I can respond to it.
Okay, it sunk in this time, so I will say that.
No problem.
Okay. All right, and with that small hurdle having been overcome, is there any objection to adjourning? Hearing no objection, we are adjourned until is it 2 weeks from now? Yeah, 2 weeks from tonight. That would be the 25th of June.
Thank you,
everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Good night.
Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks. Good night.